الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. So the expressions of salat could be clear cut and they could be figurative, indirect, as explained. Can a man write a letter to his wife to say to her that he is divorcing her? He has not spoken it, and we said expressions for divorce. So if he writes a letter to her, has he expressed divorce? Ulama say Qadi Abdul Hadi al-Baghdadi, he said he has, and others too amongst them, they said he has rightly expressed divorce, because writings are considered from expressions of intent, like speech. So when you say something, you are saying what you have in mind. Similarly, when you write that thing, you are saying what you have in mind. So those are permissible. It is permissible to have a man write a letter to his wife saying that he has divorced her. So you can't say, oh no, they say that the expressions of divorce are either figurative and this, and it has to be an expression. If he writes it also, it's also permissible as an expression of divorce. So we have discussed what divorce is, its ruling, and those who can actually give a valid divorce, and those who cannot actually give a valid divorce. And what are those things that a man can say to his wife that will be considered as a divorce? Inshallah, we now go to the procedure for divorce. The procedure itself for divorce. If a man wants to divorce his wife, it suffices that he says to her once, I divorce you. Whether, don't forget, jokingly or seriously or as applied. If he gives this valid statement, expression of divorce, whether clear cut or figurative, don't forget, if it is figurative, we'll be asking what he means. So if he says, no, I've given her that statement meant divorce. So if a man gives a statement of divorce to his wife once, it suffices. If he says, I divorce you to his wife, it suffices. He does not have to repeat it. The evidence for that is what the scholars explain. That Allah says, إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَطَلِّقُوا, it says, طَلَّقُوا. It says, فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ, that is the figure he used. The verb for that, aslan, is طَلَّقُوا. He said, the same thing, he says, أَكَبِّرُوا, why is that كَبَّرَ, when he's talking about following behind the imam. He says, why is that كَبَّرَ فَكَبِّرُوا. It surprises that the imam says, Allahu Akbar. It surprises the imam says, Sami Allahu liman hamida. So in salah, the imam does not have to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, to move from one position in salah to the other position. Do we understand what I'm saying? To start a salah, the man has to make takbir. Is it not? To make takbir. He says, Allahu Akbar. If he's starting salah and he says, Allahu Akbar, he has started the salah and he has made takbir. He does not have to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And when he's asked, why are you repeating it? Yeah, so that Allah will know that I really mean to say Allah, Allah. Takbiru, once you make takbir once, Allahu Akbar, it suffices. So when he says, Salliku, when you put salat once, it does what? It suffices. That is, whether the expression of salat is what? Sariha or what? Kinaya. That is, whether it is direct or a figurative expression. So a man says to his wife, I divorce you. It suffices. That he will say to that woman is a time, don't forget. We mentioned that under prohibited divorces. That woman must not be menstruating at that time. And she must not be in postnatal bleeding at that time. And it must not be at it in a purity in which he had intercourse with her. Don't forget. So if you want to divorce your wife, make sure you are divorcing her at a time that she's not in haid, and she's not in nifas, and she's not in tuhur al-ladhi jama'ta fiha. She's not in a tuhur, in a purity in which you have in it. This is the talaq of sunnah. This is the li'iddatihinna. Li'iddatihinna in this, these three things we had mentioned. She must not be in haid,
or nifas. In that purity, you have had what? Sexual intercourse with her. The hadith that makes this clear is the same hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. The hadith is very extensively beneficial in the matters of divorce. When he divorced the woman, we told us about how it happened. That Umar radiallahu anhu was telling her, divorce the woman. He didn't want to divorce. They went and reported the case to the Prophet. And the Prophet ordered him to divorce the woman. Follow your father. So he followed his father and divorced the woman. He went and divorced the woman in a period of haid. It was the same father that went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he has divorced women, his wife. So the Prophet ordered him alayhi salatu wa sallam to take that woman back. So that shows that divorcing a woman during menstruation it was prohibited. And he was very annoyed with it. So he took her back. So when he took her back, he said he should leave her. He says, Falyum sikha, he should keep her. So he kept her for a whole period of purity. Ulama said, so that perhaps he may renege, he may go back and not continue on the divorce. And so that it may declare that it's not just keeping her so as to be able to divorce her. He's keeping her, maintaining good relationship with her. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then when she now menstruates and becomes pure again, if he likes, let him now divorce her. If he likes, let him now keep her. So these are the evidences for those things we had mentioned. That it's not permissible to divorce a woman in menstruation. Don't forget that menstruation and postnatal bleeding have the same rulings to the Sharia. And don't forget that in that purity, he said he should not divorce her. He should divorce her before cohabiting with her. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Those hadiths are in Bukhari and Muslim. The hadith of the story of the divorce of Abdullah ibn Umar. You will see greater explanations in the book, inshallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered that to Abdullah ibn Umar. Now, if a man divorces his wife when she's in a state of menstruation, without knowing that it is prohibited to divorce a woman in the state of menstruation, does it count as divorce? Yes, it counts as divorce. Some scholars hold that it does not count as divorce. That because it is a prohibited act, so a prohibited act cannot be counted against the person. But what is most authentic, Allahu A'lam, that it is counted. Because Ibn Umar himself, radiallahu anhu, he said, it was counted against me as a divorce. He was the one, he saw him kissed her, as Muhajisun will say. He is the one that divorced the woman. Like Ibn Hajar said, rahimahullah, that it is ba'id, it is remote. So think that that statement of Ibn Umar is just his own statement. Ibn Umar said that divorce was counted against him. That is when he divorced the woman when she was menstruating. I divorced this woman when she was menstruating. Yes, it's not permissible, so I took her back. But it was counted against me as a divorce. So Ibn Hajar said, rahimahullah, that it's remote to think that he gave the divorce, he took the woman back, and he said that it was counted against him. And you are not thinking that it was the Prophet that said that it should be counted against him, when all the procedure for the divorce was being monitored by the Prophet Muhammad. So the correction, Allahu A'lam, is that if a man divorces his wife mistakenly, of course there is no mistake in divorce, don't forget. If a man divorces his wife unlawfully when she's menstruating, that divorce is still counted against him. That's why the fact that he has to take her back. He will take her back, but that is 1-0. It's like he scored his own post. He scored an own goal against him, so he lose 1 point. I'm sorry for him. So, if a person does that, that is what will happen to him. The divorce is still counted against him. Now, if he still wants to continue with the divorce, he has divorced her in purity. In that purity, he has not touched her. He has not had intercourse with her. So he divorced her. This woman begins the period of idda for 3 months. Let me not say 3 months. Let me say for 3 quruah. Because this is what Allah used in the Quran. I'm sorry for using that word 3 months. 3 quruah. If you had heard it from me, reverse it and cancel all those months. 3 quruah. Because Allah said in the Quran that wal mutallaqat, and those women that have been divorced, the divorcees, they are going to stay for a period of 3 furu. These 3 furu, some scholars are saying that 3 menstrual periods, 3 menstruations. Some others are saying that no, 3 periods of purity. They are different. Because in the Arabic lexicon, furu could mean menstruation. Furu could mean purity. Words like this are referred to as mushtarak. They are in between. They could mean more than one thing at the same time. So Arabs will use furu for menstruation. They could also use furu for purity. So which one is it? As you know, a lot of discussions have gone on that. But Allahu A'lam, the most authentic, as is clear to me, and as I will say why, is that the furu means periods of purity. Those who hold that furu means purity, evidence. The reason is that that hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ordered that if he wants to divorce the woman, he should divorce her when she's pure. Do we understand? And Allah said to us in the Quran, "Tilkuhunna li'iddatihinna," divorce the women in their iddah. It means the iddah is what? Furu. The salasa furu is the iddah of the woman. And so he said, "Wa ahsul iddah." If that same iddah is a period of purity, then it means the salasa furu means 3 periods of purity. Do we understand? Allah says, "Fatalikuhunna li'iddatihinna." Divorce women in their, when they are in a state of iddah. And we know from the hadith of Ibn Umar that the time that we can divorce a woman is a period of what? Purity, not period of menstruation. So that is the time that Allah said that we should have purity. So he said, "Wa ahsul iddah." Count that period of purity. And that is what the hadith of Abdullah Ibn Umar said. Al-Imam Malik in his Muwatta has brought a hadith wherein Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu described how the period of purity will be. So how you count the iddah is that you have divorced a woman in a period of purity. That period of purity, from the time that you divorced her, she has started to count her iddah. So she menstruates. She menstruates, and after the menstruation, she commences another period of purity. That will be her second period of فَطَلِّكُهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ. That is the first period in which she was divorced. Period of purity. The one I'm quoting is the period of menstruation. This one up is the second period of purity. The one I'm quoting here is the period of menstruation. This is the third period of purity. The day that she commences the menstruation after this third period of purity, from this term, is the end of her iddah. She must be divorced in a period of purity. She'll observe a menstruation and another purity, and again, and another by the end of her iddah. Within all these periods, the man has a wife. That woman has his. He still has. So in those conditions, that condition is his wife, because Allah still. And that house is house where that man has kept his wife. Is still the house of the woman. She has a right to stay house. The woman has a right in your houses if you divorce them. La tukhrijuhunna min buyutihinna. That's what Allah says. Don't send them out of their house. Ascribe those homes to those women even after divorce. Because for some men, the way to show the women that they have divorced is to throw out their things. Allah says, "La tukhrijuhunna min buyutihinna." Send them away. If you have been fornicating, by the time your body comes down, you want to take her back, it will be difficult for you. You have missed the 3 month period when, if she has divorced, you have the opportunity to be dressed wearing sayyad. Can you not be this woman where I divorced? But if you have thrown her out of the house, even looking at her in this time, my enjoyment too, you will miss all of this. That's why the fact that you have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, "La tukhrijuhunna min buyutihinna." Don't send these women out of their homes after that first divorce. Allow that iddah to take place. Don't say I was annoyed. You know, I just didn't know. Allah says, "La tukhrijuhunna min buyutihinna." He even ascribed those homes to them. The other evidence to show that the woman has a right to stay in the house is what Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah. He says, وَبُعُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ. And their husbands, have a great right. I don't want for our permission. Sister, I divorced you yesterday. Please, I want to take you back. Last. You don't need that. You just need to go on. You can tell her, I have taken you back. Or ulama say you have to make conjugal relations with her. But it's okay if you want to tell her, I am taking you back. That's all. But if you have sent her out of the house, you will not be able to take her back. You have made things difficult for yourself. So, we are saying that a woman that is divorced, the first divorce, has a right towards accommodation. One, because he has to take her back. Even when that is 1-0, one talaq is already counted once he had divorced her the first time. The second right to which a woman has when she is in that 3 periods of purity of idda is that she has a right to be maintained. Firstly, because she still remains your wife, you are still entitled to enjoying her, seeing her, and all of this. So she's still your wife. You are still looking at her, so you still have a chance to have her back. In that case, you have a right. She has a right to be fed. She has a right to accommodation. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, innama an-naqatu was-sukna lil-mar'ati ala zawjiha ma kanat alayha rajatu. That an-naqatu was-sukna ala al-mar'a. That the woman has a right to nafaka, to be with her before you continue to feed her. Don't say, I think I have divorced you. My hungry will kill you for this one. Don't say that. She still has a right, as she had had the right as your wife. Fear Allah. Brothers, I tried to, when I was studying talaq, I tried to find, is there in the Quran any other issue that Allah is talking about? And he kept on repeating what Allah. There's no issue like talaq. So first, is there any issue in the Quran? Don't be shy. Allah save us. There is not a single issue in the Quran, to my knowledge anyway. And I try to find it. That when Allah is talking about it, he'll be saying, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَبِيرٌ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. He'll be saying, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah. It is talaq. Fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah. It is talaq. So brother, fear Allah. When you divorce your woman the first time, don't throw them out of the house. In that same period, when they are doing their idda, as we have described it, they still have a right to be fed. Feed them according to their manner of feeding even before the divorce. Don't say, I think I don't divorce you. Now I'm going to go kill you, as we said. No, don't do that. Because that talaq itself is an act of worship. You must perform it correctly. There is a matter around here before we proceed. That is called ishhad. What talaq in ishhad? The issue of witnessing. Some of the scholars are saying that you don't need to call a witness if you want to divorce your wife. Or your wife, as the case may be. And some are saying, no, there has to be a witness. What is most authentic is that there has to be a witness. And that is based on what Allah said also in Surah At-Talaq. Allah said, إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ وَأَحْصُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنَّ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ لَا تَدْرِي لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا فَإِذَا بَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ. This is the point. Allah says, فَإِذَا بَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ أمسكوهن بمعروف أو فارقوهن بمعروف. وأشهدوا ذوي عدل منكم. نعم. He says, وَأَشْهِدُوا ذَوَيْ أَدْلٍ مِّنْكُمْ وَأَقِيمُوا الشَّهَادَةَ لِلَّهِ. Allah says, وَأَشْهِدُوا ذَوَيْ أَدْلٍ مِّنْكُمْ. When you divorce the women, or you take them back, وَأَشْهِدُوا ذَوَيْ أَدْلٍ مِّنْكُمْ. Make two just people to witness this thing amongst you. Make two just witnesses. So some scholars say, no, وَأَشْهِدُوا ذَوَيْ أَدْلٍ مِّنْكُمْ إِنْ قَلَى الْإِسْتِحْرَابِ. What is best is that two witnesses should be witnesses to it. Some say no. This is وَأَشْهِدُوا فِدَةُ الْأَمْرِ. And the أَمْرُ يُفِدُ الْوُجُوبِ إِلَّا لِصَارِكٍ. And when Allah orders us to do something, it means that that thing is obligatory. Except we can find another evidence that shows that that thing is not obligatory. Sheikh Ahmad Muhammad Shakir in his book Nizam al-Salat, he said there is no sarif here. He said there is no hadith or verse of Quran that makes us understand that this obligation here is only this order here is a recommendation, not an order of obligation. But the order Allah gave us is a matter of recommendation and not obligation. There is nothing that shows that it is not still obligation. But in fact, that the indicators here show that no, it is obligatory. Is that because if a man says to his wife, I divorce you, and nobody knew that he said so, he didn't tell anybody, they just kept it like that. And he says, I take you back. He may deny, the woman says, you divorce me. So she's waiting. So he will take her back. You know, the woman would have counted one divorce. Tomorrow, the man will come and say, I divorce you. The woman is counting two divorces. He can deny that, oh, I didn't divorce. The man can deny, it can become issues of disagreement amongst them. So ulama say the best thing and the obligatory thing as a matter of obligation is that when a man divorces his wife, he should allow people to know. Just as he allowed them to know when he married her, when he is divorcing her, he should make them know. If he is now taking her back before the end of the Idda period also, he should also make people know. So that's why Allah says that وَأَكِيمُ الشَّهَادَةَ لِلَّهِ. Give, make sure that you, those people giving witnesses, do it for the sake of Allah. So he says وَأَشْهِدُوا ذَوَيْ أَدْلٍ مِّنْكُمْ. Make the people witness your divorces. One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عمران بن حسين. Somebody came to him and said he divorced his wife three times without making a witness, without making somebody or people to witness it. This companion said to him, طلقت على غير السنة ورجعت على غير السنة. You have given a divorce not following the sunnah. You have also taken back your wife not following the sunnah. A companion will not say sunnah except that it's referring to who? The Prophet sunnah. But when in the matters of salat they say ala ghairi sunnah, what they are saying that in a manner that is prohibited. That is even when that salat is still valid. But it is a sin to do so, just like divorcing a woman when she's in a state of menstruation. I hope this matter is clear. If a man divorces his wife without making witnesses, it is a sin for him to do so without letting people to know. But that divorce still counts against him even when he had not allowed the people to know. Just like it is prohibited for a man to divorce his wife when she's menstruating. It is prohibited, but as long as he has sinned doing that, it is still valid and counted as a divorce against him. I hope this matter is clear. When he divorces her, he can take her back, as we said. But if he does not take her back before the end of the Iddah, the three periods of Quru, then in that situation, if he wants to take her back, what will he do? What will he do? He has to remarry her and start to go and be contesting like other brothers too will be contesting. So he can do this twice. If he contests, if he takes her back before the end of the Iddah, there's no problem. One still against him. If he takes her back after the Iddah, there's no problem. One still against him. So they continue to live again. He now feels another reason to divorce her, and he divorces her again, as described. Not when she's menstruating, not when she's in postnatal bleeding and all that. It still comes again as what? A divorce, a second divorce. All of what we had explained the first time still binding, but this time it is what? The second divorce. She has entitlement to stay in the house for those 3 years of kuro, 3 years of kiriti. She has entitlement to maintenance. She has entitlement to accommodation and good relations. He has a right to her. You can see her dress up, paint her lips, do anything, write Yoruba on her neck like this, anything. He will still be looking at her. He can also travel with her for the second time too. This is the meaning of at-talaqu marratan. That is at-talaqu rij'iyya marratan. The talaq in which you can take back your wife. You understand? It's twice. So, in the third time, after the second circle, if they relate and relate, and then now he has to divorce her. If he divorces her, that is the third divorce. This divorce, that woman will make hijra in the same manner, but that man does not have a right to her as he had a right to her during the hijra in the first two divorces. Do we get this point? The woman will still make hijra. But you said the other time, the first two times, that if the man wants her back, he can take her back even before the end of the hijra. And the woman has a right to accommodation in his house. But in the third time, in the third divorce, this woman does not have a right to accommodation. Women, hear this. In the third divorce, you don't have a right to accommodation. And you don't have a right to maintenance. And as such, that man does not have a right to you. From the day that he pronounces the divorce, that woman wears a hijab. La ilaha illallah. Brother, salat, no be play. It's like turning a human being to a dead body, a living person to a dead body and a dead body. Once you give her the talaq, the third time she wears the veil. If she's a veiling sister, that's all. You will never see her face again. She starts dealing with you from behind the veil, your wife before. The one that if you invite her, she didn't come, not trouble. Now if you invite her, you are the one in trouble. She becomes haram for you, even when she's in iddah. So talaq is not a joke. It's not a joke, my brother. There's a brother who gave a talaq senselessly. He has a principle that if he's divorcing any one of his, he has two wives. If he's divorcing any one of them, he will divorce the two. And he did that for the two of them 3 times. Now he's in trouble. He doesn't know what to do. He wants one of them back, but he doesn't know what to do. And that one is saying that, look, let me tell you, if I marry a husband now, I'm not marrying a husband because so that I can come back to you. That's your irresponsibility. That's how you'll be going with it. He has 3 children. How is he going to cope? Grown up boy. He wants back one of them, but Allah Almighty. So think well. Look at all the chance that the Sharia has given. Periods of Iddah with you. And you leave all that and then allow the divorce to get to the third one, you have to face the consequences. So Allah says in the Quran that He says, فَإِنْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. So you either keep her that second time, keep her well, or you still leave her, you still have one chance. So brothers, those are the 3 levels of divorce. So in that case, you cannot marry her again, like Allah said in the Quran, حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرَهُ, unless she has married another man. And that marriage will not be valid unless it is a marriage that is married with the pure intention of marriage. If it's a marriage that is make up, that is made up, so that he can come back to you, if you were in the city of Sharia, they catch the two of you, they throw you to death. Because it is considered as from what? Adultery. So be careful about that. When it happens, it can happen. There is the case for this hadith, it's in Sahih Bukhari. A woman was divorced by her husband. So she got married to another husband. And this husband that she got married to, she said, the way she was saying it, there are reports in Sunan Abi Dawud and other books of hadith that she was complaining to the Prophet wasallam, that the male organ of this second husband is like the thread that comes out from a cloth. Ulama Imam Hafiz bin Hajar said it does not erect, or that when it erects weakly. So the woman came to tell the Prophet Muhammad. When she was saying, there is a riwayah that Ibn Hajar brought in Fatih. A companion was shouting that Abu Bakr should go and stop that woman from making this kind of a statement in front of the Prophet Muhammad. So she was trying to say, but this is my new husband. His male organ is like the thread of the cloth. So ulama say, aha, this is evidence that if you bring a child, because we have said marriage to a child is permissible in Islam. We don't have any apology to anybody. We are talking about our deen, and it is the most sensible thing, ikhwan. A young boy could marry a woman. So some of the people may want to exploit that. So they get a young boy, and they are marrying that woman for their young boy. Do you understand? And they make that young boy in their thinking. People do anything to make things happen, brothers. So they make that young boy, they bring her to the woman. At least he has had something to do with her. We say no. We quote this hadith of this woman to them. Because when the Prophet asked her, when she said that to the Prophet, the Prophet laughed and said that perhaps you want to return to your husband. She said yes. She wants to return to her first husband. This one, I don't enjoy conjugal relations with her. Some scholars have said this is one of the reasons why a woman can leave her husband. A woman can seek to be divorced if she finds the husband non-satisfactory on the bed. So brother, make up. You have to pick up. You have to do things well. It is from the sunnah. I will tell you to perform ablution well. That is well. I will tell you also to perform this act well. Wallahi, many brothers fail, and it is not proper. I know that you will laugh, but don't laugh. So, she said, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la hatta tazuqi usaynatahu wa yazuqa usaynatati. No, you cannot return to your husband until that man whose male organ you described, he has to enjoy you and you have to enjoy him. So that's when that marriage is just not just marriage. Marriage and conjugal relations that the woman has enjoyed with the man. If anything now happens, the man divorces that woman, then that woman can go back to her first husband and divorce her 3 times. And that is the procedure for divorce. It's a simple thing. It's a simple procedure, I mean. It is hardly understood. It is very hardly understood because we don't talk about it. Many times we don't hear about it. I was telling one of the brothers who sat here while we were discussing that I'm surprised at the kind of attention we have paid to this discussion. Divorce is an issue that people don't want to hear about. So when you start talking about it, they say, please, I beg, I don't want to hear. They say, Abdul Halal in the last Allah. It's weak narration. It's not authentic, as the Prophet said too. That the most loathsome affair in the sight of Allah that is permissible is divorce. It's not authentic. Prophet did not say so. So we brought another narration that when a man divorces his woman, the arsh of Allah will be shaking. Who told you that Allah's arsh will shake? Allah's arsh will not shake anything. It's a weak narration, well fabricated, according to some others amongst them. So the arsh of Allah will not shake anything when the need for it arises. And a woman is divorced. Let me surprise you. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talaqa Hafsata summa raja'aha. Hafsa Hafsa bint Umar, the Prophet divorced her and took her back. So don't think that it's something, me, I can't. When the situation did not, Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah and Sinsilat al-Ahadith is Sahiha, when he was verifying this hadith of Hafsa, he said this is evidence that a woman may be pious, may be religious, may be knowledgeable, and the husband still finds something dissatisfactory about her that will make him divorce her. Because you know who Hafsa was. You know who the Prophet Muhammad was. Summa tallaqaha. So this is a simple procedure for divorce. We documented all this, and I hope that you take time to read the book on divorce, inshallah. It's very, very important. If you don't divorce correctly, there will be problems. If you don't divorce correctly, there will be problems. If you divorce correctly, Allah gave you a lot of promises. He says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. He says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُنْزِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. He says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ. And all. On divorce. If you follow the right procedure for divorce, Abdul Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he says, مَا طَلَّكَ أَحَدٌ عَلَى السُّنَّةِ ثم نجم ابدا. Nobody ever divorces following the sunnah and then ever regret. If you divorce following this procedure, you will never regret that you divorce. I think it's simple enough as we have described it. Akulu ma akulu hada wa astaghfiru lahi wa lakum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And liberal of the topic of the divorce, which to some people is very scary. When you want to talk about divorce, even that is why many books on divorce are not well told. Just in book lying in the books on the divorce, you know, marriage. And then we need to also have the knowledge so that we don't misbehave. And because many of us we are denied or we don't have the knowledge, that is why we misbehave when it has to do with the issue of the divorce. So we thank ourselves for that. We have a lot of at least when you see, you too as a woman, you can read the book on divorce. The next time you can read the book on divorce, when it has to do with divorce, Allah has always said, Wasafullah, meaning that you have to be very, very careful in taking the decision. We have a lot of questions here, and if you look at your time, the time has been fast spent. But for personally, I have four people have asked the same question, and I don't think what they are asking for, they are even qualified to reject it. I will read one of the questions to you. And I want the staff to answer the question, inshallah. The remaining one, inshallah, will be answered in our previous, our subsequent lecture. Can a man divorce one of his four wives to marry a new one? Now, four, the same question. Four people.
Where are the four?
Now,
where are the four?
What came to mean is that the man asking this question, maybe he has not even got married to one wife.
Or two.
Or even two. Or three. He's now talking about, can I divorce one and take another one? But since the four people have asked the question, I want to start to answer the question.
Allahu Mustaan. He wants the staff to hang himself. Number.
129.
No, 20 something. In a rotten Stigdala Zod in Makana Zod. Misani, 25. Chukwu 129. Before 129, what do I own me? 20, not 20.
Please, before you start to answer that question, please, you are the owner of this card. B299PPG CF521SKG RC361AAA. RA65665AA and RY67KDA. These five cards are blocking people people are ready to leave. You have the car, you have one of the cars, please go and move it so that you can leave.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala
rasulillah. These are the four questions. Wallahi, I'm surprised. One said, can a man divorce one of his four wives to marry a new one? Is it permissible to divorce one wife for another when they are completed for already? Without reason, can a man divorce one of his four wives to marry a new one? If someone has four wives and meets another that he likes, frankly, I would have wished that I'm not the one being asked about this question. If you read the book on divorce, I deliberately left out this matter on divorce. Because that is the attitude of the scholars. They have not made it an issue to talk about and make a jest of. But it is what, if you read the history of Islam, you will see. Because it has been asked now, there is an amana ilmiya for me to give a response if I know it. وَلَا أَخَافُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَوْمَ صَلَائِهِ. It is permissible for a man to do so. And the verse of it is in the Quran. If you have a mushaf around you, open it. Quran chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa, verse 20. Look at it. Allah says, before that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows whom He has created. And He creates, He does not close us up. He likes to make things easy for us. So before in 19, it says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Deal nicely with your women. فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Perhaps you may dislike something and Allah put a lot of good in that thing that you have disliked. Check verse 19. فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Perhaps you dislike something and Allah has put a lot of good things in that. Before that it says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Deal with your women nicely. Quran chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa, verse 19. In the verse that follows, he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ. If you desire to replace one of your wives with if you like to put in the place of one wife, there's a wife there, you want to put another in her place, when you want to do that, Allah told us what to do. Do you understand? And this verse, if you go to the books of Tafsir, usually the scholars did not explain, they leave it like that. They leave that verse. The one who understands it, understands it. And if you look at the lives of the companions and those who came after them, that is when you begin to understand that verse properly. Apart from Abu Bakr and Siddiq, all the three companions, Khulafa or Rashidun, they had more than four wives. Some died, some were divorced and they remarried in its place. Go back to it. Whether Omar, radiallahu anhu, whether Uthman, whether Ali ibn Abi Talib. Others had more. There were scholars. Saad, Tal, As-Sa'idi, Sa'ad ibn Abi Sa'ad, As-Sa'idi, is a companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Himself and his father, radiyallahu anhuma. Go and read Siyaru Alam al-Nubala. He had 90 wives. If he had four, if he wanted to marry more, he divorced and married. Mughira ibn Shu'bah had 70. In that hadith where Mughira came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, I want to marry a woman. He asked, have you looked at her face? You know this hadith. But we don't always read the end of the hadith. In the end of that hadith, Mughira said, that woman whose wife said, whom I looked at before I married her, was the one that stayed longest with me, and I was a man who had married 70 women. This riwayah is Musnad Imam Ahmad. Amongst companions. If you come in the time of the Tabi'in, before companions, Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib had about 92. Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Such that Imam al-Zahabi in Siyar al-Lam al-Nubala said that parents were going, Ali radiallahu anhu was going to parents to say, oh, don't give your wife to Ali, to Hassan. She will divorce them. The parents say, we will give him. Unless he says he's not marrying again. As long as he wants, he will give. Because he's the grandchild of the Prophet Muhammad. So there were cases like this amongst companions. There were others among the scholars. And Imam Hamad ibn Zayd, Hamad ibn Salama had 74. And in his own case, Allahu Akbar, he was looking for a child. He married 74 women, Allah didn't give him a child. If you read Siyar Alam al-Nubala, it was said about Hamad ibn Salama that he was a man, إِذَا كِلَ لَهُ غَدًا سَاعًا. If he was told, tomorrow is the day of Qiyamah, لَا يَزِيدُ فِي أَمَلٍ. He does not have any other good deed he wants to do. He's ready for the day of Qiyamah. With that piety, he had 74 wives. رضي الله عنه. They were many. There was a time I was trying to compile it because people were denying it. I said, no, it's there in our religion. Whatever is there. لا تبديل الخلق الله. You can't change it. ولا تجد لسنة الله تبديلا. You can't change it. Allah has written it and it is there. We are the Muslims. We are the soldiers of Allah, inshallah. And we defend His deen. So it is there. If Tibdal is there. It is there in Surah An-Nisa, Quran chapter 4, verse 20. Assalamu alaikum.
Before we leave, don't let us forget Wattaqullah. We should fear Allah in everything that we do. And you know that Inna Rabbaka Latin is the result. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity to be enlightened about different aspects of our deen. So we thank ourselves for that and pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us among those alladhina yastami'una al-qawla wa yastami'una ahsana, those who listen to the words of Allah and they will take the best out of you. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. اشهد ان لا اله الا انت. اشهد ان لا اله الا انت. اقول قولي هذا واستغفرك. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته.